and that we get to pray together and that we get to worship God together and we get to look at his word together. Like, this is really big stuff for me. So I'm really excited about today. I'm also excited because of what Paul leaves Titus with today. As we finish up this book of this letter that Paul wrote to Titus, as we finish this up, this is some really cool stuff. Like, I'm telling you guys, this is really cool. I'm also excited because this morning no one strangled me. I'm excited because no one strangled me because I moved your chairs. All right? There were a couple of people I thought was touch and go for a moment, but by God's grace, I'm still standing here today. So praise God. Let's dive right in. Let's take a look again here at what Paul is saying in chapter 3, verses 20. Open it up. If you don't have your Bible, well, we're in church, so you should have your Bible, right? So open your Bible up, open your phone up. If you don't have a Bible, then just let us know. We'll get you one, right? Titus chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey, so that they will lack nothing. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All those who are with me send you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you to all. Now, I don't know if it's just me, but at first read here, as I'm first looking through this, it feels like a little bit of a letdown. Like, it feels like, okay, Paul has just given us this great doctrinal stuff, and now we're reading these four verses, and really these four verses sound to me like just sincerely yours, Paul. Like, what's the big deal here? But I think as we look at it, I think there's actually something pretty cool that Paul is doing, because Paul is giving Titus an opportunity to show that he gets it. Paul is giving Titus an opportunity for the church to show that they get it. So I'm going to tell you that there's a few personal details, first of all, right? And they don't necessarily mean a ton to us. However, they could. Like in verse 12, it says, when I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to spend winter there. So Paul is thinking ahead, right? He's planning for the future. That's cool, right? We can see that Paul is a smart enough guy to plan for the future. That's great. And then the very last verse, however, all those that are with you, send me your greetings. And greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you to all. That's really the kind of, like, sincerely yours, Paul. In God's love, in God's grace, Paul. Like, that's his goodbye. Tell everyone that I miss them. Tell everyone I love them. And I'll see you guys later. Like, that's what's happening there. But in between those two things are a couple of important things that I want us to look at this morning. So look at verse 13 again. It says, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey, so that they will not lack nothing. Now, this in and of itself is not a big deal. Like, who cares? Okay, if Paul's asking Titus to come to him, it's reasonable that Paul is going to send somebody else to Crete, right? Like, big deal, let's move on. But Paul specifically tells Titus to diligently, or in other translations would say, to work hard too. To diligently make sure that these men have what they need. And that's really important, because what Paul is doing is Paul is calling the church in Crete to serve. He's calling the church in Crete to actually care for people, to actually make sure that these men have the things that they need. Now, you can't do that by sitting in your chair, right? Like, that's not how you provide for people. You have to actively do something. And then look at the very next verse in verse 14. And I'm going to read it out of the ESV version. It says, and our people must also learn to devote themselves to good works for cases of urgent need, so that they will not be unfruitful. Now, so Titus has spent all of this time learning from Paul, learning how to form the church, learning how the church should be structured, learning how the church should be teaching others, how the church should be looking for false prophets. Like, all these things, Paul's been learning, or Titus has been learning, all these things. And now Paul tells Titus to make sure the people of Crete, remember the people of Crete were the people that really only think of themselves, right? The people of Crete are really the people that say that they are the most important thing in the world. But Paul is saying, remember our people, Christians. Remember, Christians must also learn to devote themselves to good works for cases of urgent need. When there is a need, Christians step up. Like, that's what Paul's saying there. When there's a need, when you have a need, you step up. Or when somebody around you has a need, you step up so that you will not be unfruitful. Paul is calling them to put into action the things that they've been learning. There's a guy by the name of George Knight, and he writes, Paul wants the Christians to keep on learning through the activity of doing. So Paul isn't saying, okay, now that you've already learned, you're done. He says, I want you to keep learning by doing. It's hands-on time. It's time to get your hands dirty and actually get into the work of the gospel. Did you see what Paul did? Let's walk through this book really quickly, right? We see the context of Titus, that it's written to a guy named Titus with some instruction on what to do on this island that really doesn't care about Christ, right? Or maybe they partially, maybe a few people care. And Paul instructs Titus on how to choose men as elders. And those men had to live according to specific character traits. However, what we've also seen is that those character traits aren't really unique for those men. Those character traits are unique for all Christians. Like, that Paul is telling Titus, this is how Christians should live. So find some Christians that are living this way so that they can be the leaders of the church. Then he continues, and he says, I don't care if Crete is a wicked place. You find these men. You find the ones that stand out, that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then he talks about false teachers. And Paul explains to Titus that the elders need to be on the lookout for these false teachers, and that they must be prepared to confront this false teaching. So any false teaching that happens is the fault of the elders. And so the elders have a pretty big weight on their shoulder. But it also doesn't stop there, because you as a Christian need to know what false teaching is. A false teacher is someone who doesn't line up with Scripture, and someone whose life doesn't line up with what they're teaching. So as Christians, we see, okay, this is what I need to look for so that I don't pay attention to these men. Later we see that Paul wants various Christians to be doing certain things so that the whole body can be encouraged in the gospel. Right? So he's got young men, young women, older men, older women. All these people are doing specific things so that the whole body is encouraged by the gospel. And then last week, we see that Paul expected the church in Crete to go outside of its walls and live a life that is worthy of the gospel, so that those outside of the walls have a chance to see Christ and have a chance to understand that there is a gospel that saves. Like, this isn't just, hey, I got some good news today because I had a good crop. This is, there is good news that will save your life. And now that Paul has shared everything with Titus, everything he wants to share, at least in this letter, Paul gives an opportunity for the church to be the church. Paul wants the Christians to keep on learning through the activity of doing. So today, we're going to do the same thing. Today, we're going to take an opportunity to be the church, and we're going to continue learning by doing. Okay, so we've canceled Sunday school this morning. There's no Sunday school. I know we love Sunday school, but we're not going to do Sunday school this morning, except for the little people, and the nursery's going to keep going. We've canceled Sunday school, and we've got some people that are going to be doing various things. We've got some things that we want to do outside of the building. We've got some things that we want to do inside of the building in order to show that others that there is a gospel, and we want to show them the gospel through our actions. So here's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to ask the majority of you. Now, majority does not mean 15 people. There's 65, 70 people here this morning. So majority is like, what? 77 people. So majority would be like 50 plus, right? That's not age, that's count. So the majority of people, I want us to go out into the community, into Leaf River specifically, but we could also go into Mount Morris if we need to. I want us to go out into the community, and we've got some trash bags and some gloves, and we're just going to love that community by cleaning it up. That's all. We're not going to be knocking on doors and telling everybody how great we are. We're just going to see a piece of trash, pick it up. And here's what also we're going to do. While we're walking through, we're going to pray for the family that lives in the house that we're walking in front of. We're going to pray for the business that works out of the location of the building that we walk in front of. We're going to pray for their success. We're going to pray that the gospel becomes real in their life. We're going to see a toy in the front yard, and we're going to know that there's a child in that house, and so we're going to pray for that child. We're going to pray for that child's teachers. We're going to pray for the family's doctors. We're going to pray, as we are walking through the neighborhood, we're going to be praying for everyone or every house that we see. And if we have the opportunity to talk to someone, this is crazy. I don't know if I should say this. We can pray for them too. Like right there. Like we can say, hey, do you have like just a second I can just pray over you real quick? And just pray for them. Just, God, please bless this person. Thanks. It's not scary. So we're going to have the opportunity to actually love people through serving them. Then we have these amazing things. So grab some of these on your way out. So if you have the opportunity to have a conversation with someone, and if someone says, why are you doing this? Then you can say, because there's the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved me, and I want you to know more about it. And you can hand them a card, right? Like, that's that easy. So that's the first thing that we're going to do. Then we're going to have a small group of people. They're going to hang out here at the building with Brian back in the back. You're going to be in the building doing things around the building. Brian's got some stuff that he wants to get taken care of. And here's the reason. Because we're inviting people into our house. We're inviting people into God's house. Which means we need to prepare to receive people into our house, right? An example I read earlier this week is, would you invite someone over for dinner and then forget to clean your house? Probably not. At least if you did, your wife would kill you. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few minutes to just prepare for the people that are going to be coming in. So Brian is going to lead that group of people. Then we've got Steve Wells. I'm going to ask a small group of you guys, mostly the folks that maybe can't physically do some of the things. I'm going to ask you guys to stay here at the building and spend some time praying. I want you guys to pray for the elders to maintain the doctrinal integrity of LRBC. I want you to pray for the specific people within our church that are hurting, people like Joe and Aveline. I want you to pray for the safety of those that are going out and serving. And I want you to pray for the other churches. And I want you to pray for other pastors, because this community isn't saved by LRBC. This community is saved by the power of the gospel. And so that's what we're promoting, the power of the gospel, okay? So I'm going to ask a few of you guys to stay here and spend some time in prayer, and Steve is going to lead you in prayer. I'd say in the prayer room, but if it grows out of that, then just find another space, and you guys stay there and spend some time praying. So now you know why I'm excited about this morning. This is different. This is strange. This is new. Because like our schedule says that Billy has to preach for another hour and a half. And then we're going to pretend to do Sunday school. And then we're going to go to eat lunch, right? Like that's what our schedule says we have to do. But Billy's done talking. What do we do now? Wow. Wow. We get to be the church. We don't just get to come to a place. We get to go out and be the church. This is an opportunity for us to just serve, for us to love people. So I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray that we have a great time this morning. But here's what else we're going to do. Is at 11:45, we're going to have another service right here from 11:45 to 12. So that way we still get to come together, because I want to get to see everybody after we have an opportunity to serve Okay, and we're going to have a short service with a couple of worship songs, spend a few minutes in prayer, and then we're going to go back out. So as you leave, plan on being back by 11:45 for our closing service. But I'm going to spend a moment in prayer for us right now. And when I'm done praying for us, here's what I want you to do. We're going to have the opportunity to have our normal prayer time. You know, the time that we have the opportunity to pray for the people that we love. The time that we have the opportunity to pray for the people that are struggling within our church. The people that are struggling physically, the people that are struggling emotionally, and the people that are struggling spiritually. So if that's you, then I want to ask that you stay seated when I say amen. And if that's not you, then I want to ask that you stand up and walk to somebody who is still seated and place your hand on them and say a word of prayer for them. And we're going to have that opportunity to just lift other people up. Now, then the worship team is going to come up, and then we're going to be dismissed out to serve. Father God, I thank you for who you are, Lord God. God, there's so many things going through our church right now as a church family that only you can intervene in. There's so many things that only you can deal with. And so I want to ask you, God, I want to plead with you that you will work in those situations, and you know what they are. And I want to thank you because I know that you are working in those situations. So God, I want to ask that you provide comfort where there's comfort needed. I want to ask that you provide caring where there's caring needed. And that you provide peace for where peace is needed. I want to ask that as we go out this morning, that you give us the opportunity to make an impact on those around us. As we go out this morning, we have the opportunity to continue learning about your gospel through doing. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that opportunity, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask you, if you need someone to pray for you, if you'd like someone to pray with you, stay seated. Otherwise, pray for someone else. We have Kathy back here. She's going to stay seated for Joe. We've got Larry over here. He's going to stay seated for Aveline. Joe and Mike as well.
Each and every one who's seated, and Lord God, we just thank you. praise that you care about each and every being. We're humbled by your greatness, and we can't help but give you praise for taking care of these needs. Thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now you have opportunity to go and serve. So you're dismissed to go and serve, and we'll be back at 11:45.
And we did cancel the older kids' Sunday school, so that way the older kids can go serve with mom and dad. And Beth has trash bags outside.
Colin's going to stay and help Brian because he's eager to do something in the building. And then we're going to go.
Three of us can go out.
Do trap.
Cool.
I'm lucky to be here.
I know, that's pretty amazing. You should see around. Come look at my office. There's not a whole lot fancy. Donna got her.
I had surgery Tuesday.
Did you really? For what?
I had that, fasten blood before you left.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cancerous tumor on the tube between my bladder and my kidney.
Oh my goodness.
I went and took it out. It's very low grade, so you don't have to have any chemo or radiation.
Okay, they were able to just remove it all?
Well, 4.5 hours.
Wow. But they got it all?
Yeah.
At least at the moment, nothing's...
Yeah, well, I'm just still, I haven't been back for a post-op.
Yeah?
Thank
you.
Wow. I'm still sore, real sore across my stomach. And yeah. I did that Da Vinci thing. And
Da Vinci?
Yeah, robot. Having 2 or 3 holes or 6.
Just 6 tiny holes?
No.
Big holes?
One's about this long.
Oh my goodness.
Big old bruise around it.
Really? Wow.
I have to wear a bag and I get a catheter.
Oh man, that's miserable. Yeah, is it a urine catheter or is it a... Okay.
Yeah, he says you can't let the bladder fill up with urine because it's okay. When they reattach that tube, they don't want anything to leak out.
Oh my gosh.
It's all new experience for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told him, I said, well, am I going to be able to travel? Yeah, you should just, take it easy.
Take it easy. Driving. So you're not driving?
No, I'm driving.
You're driving.
But no, I never did feel bad.
Yeah? You felt okay?
Yeah.
Just,
I'm not
some urine.
Any pain pills or anything.
That's good. Okay.
I got them. But
yeah, but you haven't needed them? That's fantastic. Wow. Wow. So who's
a friend of mine.
Sherry?
Yes.
Sherry.
She's a friend of mine. She lives in Carmel.
Cool.
She fell here a while back, broke a rib, and I was up there taking care of her some.
Okay.
We just got to be good friends.
Okay. That's awesome.
I told her about the Turkey Testicle Festival.
And she's like, so we got to go.
Yeah, she's so excited about doing it. I was really so disappointed yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. No kidding. That's crazy.
So how's the house? You all settled in and all unpacked? And
we are, mostly unpacked.
You got all your stuff organized?
Mostly. Like mostly. Except for the garage. So I still got to unpack some boxes from the garage and trash them.
No issues from the other house? I mean, as far as it called you and said...
No, and if they did, I would have said, it's your house now.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what they had questions of.
Yeah. One issue here at this house that's been kind of a pain that I haven't gotten all the way fixed yet, I haven't gotten any fixed yet, is they put a washer and dryer in the basement. When they did that, they first put it onto the sewer pipe going through the basement there, and apparently it was plugged. So they capped that, and they put it into the radon pipe. So coming out of the laundry, coming
into
off
the radon pipe?
Uh-huh.
Which goes under the house?
It just dumps under the house is all that radon pipe does.
Yeah, it's just...
Because all they do is drill through. Yep. So I have no idea what the underneath of my house looks like currently.
Crawl space?
No. Because it's under the basement.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I wouldn't use that. I'd be putting in a separate tile or something. You're on septic system, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a pipe right next to it. It just needs to be unclogged.
Well,
like, wouldn't that have been easier just to unclog it than to...
Yeah.
Oh, well. So I still have to fix that.
So how are the kids adjusting to school?
They're doing well.
And Colin's a senior, right?
He's junior.
Oh, he's a junior.
Yeah. He had a rough start, but I think he's doing pretty well, don't you think?
You wanted us back here at 11:45, right?